In as much as possible, would you kneel with me? Our most precious Heavenly Father, dear God, we thank Thee, dear Heavenly Father, for this beautiful land of freedom, where we might come before Thee to worship Thee openly, without fear, without restriction, and without being monitored. Where we might come before Thee, dear Heavenly Father, to receive from Thee the guidance and the direction and the blessings of life. We know, dear Heavenly Father, that Thou art a God who discerns our thoughts and our minds. Thou knowest everything that transpires within our lives. There is nothing hid from Thy eye. And we know, dear Heavenly Father, that there are many times that we know not exactly what we stand in need of ourselves. And so we pray that as our brother would prepare to come up before us this night to bring the message which Thou would have for us, that Thou would lead and guide and direct him by Thy Holy Spirit, that Thou would give him liberty of speech and of thought and of mind, that he might uplift our hearts and our minds and bring peace to our souls, that we might be edified through Thy word, through Thy servant this night. And I'd ask and pray, dear Heavenly Father, of others of like faith, that Thou would feed them with Thy spiritual manna as well, that we might all feast upon Thy word and be touched by Thy Holy Spirit. I pray that Thou would reach out unto all mankind everywhere, for we all stand in need to be nourished in Thy ways. And so, dear Heavenly Father, I pray as well, as we hold our service, that there may be those who are traveling back home from up in Heber and other areas, that Thou would watch over and keep them safe in their travels. And be with our brothers in the missionary field as well, that they might as well bring life unto others that they would come in contact with. For we know that without this gospel we have no life. Without Thy Spirit, we have no life. So I pray that we will always be found worthy in Thy sight to serve Thee and to be blessed by Thee. Now for these things, Father, we do ask and pray, and we give thanks always in Jesus' holy name. Amen. If you'll turn your hymnals once again to number 397. And when you found your places, would you once again rise?
Shine in sweet.
Our brother would surely appreciate your careful and your prayerful attention. And when I say prayerful, that's just what every man needs when he stands here, that he'll always deliver the word of God, that he'll allow himself to be led by the Holy Spirit. So your prayers are a very important part of this service as well. So if you'll give your attention and your prayers to our brother Glenn Orster. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Good evening, brothers and sisters, and I guess fellow non-campers. We don't have quite as many here tonight. I mean, many have traveled to enjoy the services and a little bit cooler climate at the camp for all ages over this holiday weekend, as we traditionally have the camp. But my thoughts tonight do kind of revolve around this holiday that we have, the 4th of July. As I thought a little bit about it, this time of year with all the festivities that we have, the fireworks display that we'll have in a couple days, and as I watched over some of the various news clips and things as they showed some of the heritage of this country that we are so blessed to enjoy the abundance, the freedoms and liberties in. They have, I saw that like a rough draft of the Declaration of Independence on display that had some changes and things that were put into it before the final draft was put together. They discussed a little bit about some of the problems that came up with drafting the Declaration of Independence. A little bit, one other little news clip. It had a little short thing about some of the history of what some of the founding fathers of this nation have had to endure. And I know through the past, you know, we've had services, we've had studies where we've taken time to kind of reflect upon some of the tremendous sacrifices that the founding fathers of this nation had to endure, undergo, withstand, overcome, in order to strive to be able to establish this nation that just by mere birth we can enjoy the fruits of. And I couldn't help but think how much things have changed in such a short period of time. How much some of those names that we like to reflect upon that were so instrumental in the creation of this country, the foundation for establishing documents, our Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and all those foundations, those written records about their desires to create this country we have. About how many of them died in poverty, having lost all. Many that fell in battle, gave their lives in an attempt to create something that was a little bit better, that maybe their children, their great-grandchildren, might have a better place to live. That they might be able to establish a country where people could worship freely as we do this day. And how the headlines today, the leaders of our country, so often it seems to be self-centered, rather than looking for the future and sacrificing for their children and their grandchildren, it seems to be a change. rather than an attitude of sacrifice and endurance, one of lusts and desires. Certainly not what some of those names that we've come to hold dear in our hearts when we think of this country, George Washington, Jefferson, Hamilton, many of the others, and then through the time, the others that came to follow and continue that dream, Abraham Lincoln and others that come to mind, some of the great leaders that this nation has had the privilege to record in its annals, and the creation of a country dedicated to God, whose coinage of for so many years said, "In God we trust." And I couldn't help but think about some of those qualities that were exhibited by these individuals, that we can have the life that we enjoy today. That as they contemplated creating a new nation, they realized fully that there had to be some form of governing body, some way of recording how that country is going to continue. And from that, we obtained those documents that I've referred to, our Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, our Constitution. They realized the need to be people of service, to be willing to give of themselves, and to think of others in so doing, to create a country where men had freedoms and liberties, but along with that, responsibilities and duties, realizing that there had to be a higher authority, organization that had to be answered to when those desires for the common good were transgressed. Admirable qualities, and not surprising for a country that was founded on the principles of religious freedom, the freedom of worship, who the first pilgrims, as they embarked upon that journey across the ocean, not knowing what laid on the other side, but started off desiring to get away from religious persecution and to start a great nation. And it seems to echo some of the thoughts that we can find in the 20th chapter of Matthew, where an individual would come to our Lord and Master with a desire and a question. As we can read here in the 20th chapter of Matthew, I'd like to start with the 20th verse. We can read, "Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him." They're coming before Christ as he walked upon this earth. It says, "And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these, my two sons, may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" Having concerns, knowing what he was going to have to undergo, and wondering if they fully realized of what they asked, what he would have to endure for our sakes, for you, for me. The railing, the mocking, being spit upon, humiliated, and finally crucified in a slow, agonizing death. It says, and they say unto him, we are able. And he saith unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for who it is prepared by my Father. Christ was going to make that sacrifice, but here he pointed out that this was a sacrifice that was going to be made for others, for a source that's even higher than him, that he wasn't the final authority. There was that which was above him, his Father. He told them, I can't grant that unto you. It's not mine to give. And when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever shall be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life as a ransom for many. You know, we like to look in our histories, the records, the books, and reflect upon the great sacrifices that men have made over the years for this life that we enjoy. We seal up and preserve those documents that they recorded that have granted us this independence that we enjoy. And yet how so often we're quick to forget of that greatest independence that was ever granted and the most supreme sacrifice that was ever made. That sacrifice that was made for each of us by our Lord and Savior, that we can have independence, that we can be free from the bondage to sin and death. And no matter what conditions we live, where we reside, with whom we interact, an independence that isn't contingent upon any of our worldly responsibilities or obligations, not dependent upon where you were born or who your parents were, not contingent upon your position of state in this world, but that's available to all. As I like to turn on that thought over into Messiah, I'd like to read a few words from King Benjamin, who was a noble leader, with some of those same magnificent qualities that we like to reflect upon, that we know from our heroes, if I will, of our creation of this country. A king who ruled honestly, endeavored to keep the needs of his nation, his people, first most. In the first chapter of Mosiah, I'd like to start with the 38th verse. Words that echo the words of our Master. And these are the words which he spake and caused to be written, saying, My brethren, all ye that have assembled yourselves together, that ye can hear my words which I shall speak unto you this day. For I have not commanded you to come up hither to trifle with the words which I shall speak, but that you should hearken unto me, and open your ears that you may hear, and your hearts that you may understand, and your minds that the mysteries of God may be unfolded to your view. I have not commanded you to come up hither that you should fear me, or that you should think that I, of myself, am more than a mortal man. But I am like as yourselves, subject to all manner of infirmities in body and mind. Yet as I have been chosen by this people, and was consecrated by my Father, and suffered by the hand of the Lord that I should be a ruler and a king over this people, and I have been kept and preserved by his matchless power to serve thee with all might, mind, and strength which the Lord hath granted unto me. I say unto you that as I have been suffered to spend my days in your service, even up to this time, and have not sought gold, nor silver, nor any manner of riches from you. Neither have I suffered that you should be confined in dungeons, nor that you should make slaves one of another, or that you should murder or plunder or steal or commit adultery, or even I have not suffered that you should commit any manner of wickedness, and have taught you that you should keep the commandments of the Lord in all things which he hath commanded you. And even I myself have labored with mine own hands that I might serve you, that you should not be laden with taxes, that there should nothing come upon you which was grievous to be borne. And all these things which I have spoken, ye yourselves are witnesses this day. Yet, my brethren, I have not done these things that I might boast, neither do I tell you these things that thereby I might accuse you. But I tell you these things that ye may know that I can answer a clear conscience before God this day. Behold, I say unto you that because I said unto you that I had spent my days in your service, I do not desire to boast, for I have only been in the service of God. And behold, I tell you these things that ye may learn wisdom, that ye may learn that when you are in service of your fellow beings, ye are only in the service of your God. Behold, ye have called me your king. And if I, whom ye call your king, do labor to serve you, then had not ye ought to labor to serve one another. Great words. Because through this life, we're in a constant struggle, trying to identify what we turn to be things of value, things of worth. Constantly we make decisions deciding what we're going to use our strength and our time for, whether they're going to be for endeavors that are worthy, that are fruitful, that produce, or for things of naught. And yet today we're surrounded by things that consume our time, our energies, our efforts, with nothing to take from it. We live in a time where everyone's competing, trying to get our time, our efforts, our endeavors, our ambitions. And when we make those decisions for where we're going to place our efforts, We find so often when we place those and efforts are self-centered. Things that we feel are going to help us or entertain us or make us feel better or give us some enjoyment. We find quite the opposite. But whether when that time that's spent has passed, we also often find that we have nothing. Nothing to take with us. It's in the words of our Lord and Master, the words of King Benjamin. As the Scriptures point out, and as the founding fathers of this nation found, when they found something of worth to strive for, it required sacrifice. It required a desire to be in service to others, to think of others, those that would follow after them. And something of value was created. Unfortunately, I see that we live in a time where the majority of the people we come in contact with are self-centered and not fruitful. That's what we see today in the leaders of our country, because of the decisions they've made that serve the time and the moment, rather than decisions of service and sacrifice, we find that it didn't continue, it didn't have a strong foundation, and it starts to fall apart. There's a, I don't want to call it a saying or what, it's something I've heard many times over my life. You know, it's better to help someone else once than to help yourself 100 times. And there's a lot of truth in that. Because we can read in 1 Peter, as he would comment about that very topic, things of value, of worth. The first chapter of Peter, first chapter of 1 Peter, excuse me, the 24th verse. It says, "For all flesh is like grass, and all the glory of man like the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you." And in 1 John, the second chapter, verses 27 and 28. "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." A tremendous sacrifice has been made for each of us. As a great nation was created by individuals the desire to come out of bondage and create something of service to their fellow beings. So we find that a Savior was given to mankind. A foundation was laid for everyone that would desire to come out of bondage. The entanglements of this world, the concerns, the trials, the tribulations that we all must endure, the sicknesses, the illnesses that come upon us, all manners of afflictions and temptations. and it was recorded. Even as our founding fathers found it necessary to record those documents, that there be some basis, some recorded history, that things could continue on, so we find the same thing with us, with our books before us, the scriptures recorded, that we can reflect and look upon the learnings and the experiences of others, to see their mistakes and their strengths and learn from them. And most of all, the only perfect example we've ever had, the very Son of God as He walked upon this planet, upon the face of the earth. And walk not in an attitude of a ruling, conquering king, but one of service. Desiring to instruct, teach, exhort, uplift, lead, and direct. And demonstrated, as I'd like to read in the 5th chapter of Luke, in the 5th chapter of Luke, starting with the 18th verse, demonstrated what He was able to offer. It says, And behold, men brought in a bed a man who was taken with palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. When they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this who speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, He answering said unto them, Why reason ye in your hearts? Which is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know the Son of Man hath authority upon the earth to forgive sins, He said unto the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that on which he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed. And they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. As I said, Christ didn't come as a ruling, conquering power or authority. And yet He came with something much greater. As He demonstrated here, He came with the power to forgive. The authority to forgive. He came offering independence. From the slavery that mankind had been into, to their death and their separation from God. He came offering Himself, willing to make that sacrifice that He could be that bridge that would return man before the presence of God, that would release mankind from the terrible woes of our natural, sinful, lustful, desirous selves, and gave us directions how we could obtain that, knowing full well what we have to face every day, that he had to face every day, and probably 1,000 times more than we do. As we receive instruction in 3 Nephi in the 8th chapter, the 8th chapter of 3 Nephi, when our Lord Master had appeared upon this land, it says, "And it came to pass that when they had knelt upon the ground, Jesus groaned within himself and saith, Father, I am troubled because of the wickedness of the people of the house of Israel. And when he had said these words, he himself also knelt upon the earth, and behold, he prayed unto the Father, and the things which he prayed cannot be written. And the multitude did bear record which heard him. And after this manner do they bear record. The eye hath never seen, neither hath the ear heard before, so great and marvelous of things as we saw and heard Jesus speak unto the Father. And no tongue can speak, neither can there be written by any man, neither can the hearts of men conceive so great and marvelous things that we both saw and heard Jesus speak. And no one can conceive of the joy which filled our souls at the time we heard him pray for us unto the Father. And when it came to pass that when Jesus had made an end of praying unto the Father, he arose. But so great was the joy of the multitude that they were overcome." And then with that, I'd like to turn over to the 47th verse and continue. The instruction that having set the example, he delivered to those that saw and observed that, that heard those marvelous words that were spoken on their behalf. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you must watch and pray always, lest you be tempted by the devil and are led away captive by him. And as I have prayed among you, even so shall you pray in my church among my people, which do repent and are baptized in my name. Behold, I am the light, and I have set an example for you. And when it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude and saith unto them, Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptation. For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore he must always pray unto the Father in my name. And whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that you shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Pray in your families unto the Father always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed." A way of independence. The way to obtain it. The way to fight the battle through prayer and accepting that sacrifice that Christ has made. Even as in this great country, we accept and we enjoy the privileges that have been ours because of the many who have fought battles and given their lives in the past. And because of that sacrifice, we accept and we abide by that foundation that was laid. Because I don't think sometimes we realize, you know, we think of everything has to be the way it is because, well, that's what the law says. That's the way it's structured. But it's only by the willingness of people to abide by those laws that they exist. All we have to do is turn turn on the news and see these other countries and the huge turmoil and the strife and the civil unrest and people just being slaughtered in the streets to see what happens when people aren't willing to abide by the governing forces that rule. And so in our spiritual lives, we have that same thing. A sacrifice was paid for us. And a foundation of commandments and guidelines were set that offer benefits to those that would desire to receive them. No different than we can enjoy and profit from the foundation that's laid by those that created this great country. The same foundation is laid for us spiritually, and yet magnified so many more times over the simple little material things that we enjoy, the blessings of this country, what we can do and where we can go. But a sacrifice was made, and a way opened, that a foundation was laid, and instruction given. But sometimes it's a little confusing. Sometimes the answers aren't always quite as clear as we'd like them to be, but God knows the intent of each heart. As we can read in Romans, the 8th chapter, starting with verse 26, it says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Even as we read these words in 3 Nephi, how Christ, in His sincerity and the desires of His heart, they couldn't even record what was said. There simply weren't words to express it. We're told here that when we desire to approach God, His Spirit intercedes for us and utters those same words that we heard or that we read that Christ offered. It says, "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Sometimes, you know, I've been there. I'm sure each of us had. Sometimes something we're concerned about, something maybe we're confused about, and you don't even know exactly what to pray for. You don't know specifically. You just know that you have a problem that you need to overcome, a decision that you need to make, some guidance and direction in your life, and you aren't even really sure where to go with it. It's the adversary that teaches you not to pray, not to lean on that foundation, to stumble on your own. Because the foundation that's been laid told us that if you have a desire to follow the Lord's will, approach Him in prayer, and the Spirit will intercede and take up where maybe you don't know exactly what to pray or how to express yourself, but the message will be delivered. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 13 and 14, it says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not permit you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make the way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." Flee from the opposition. Depart from that that would teach contrary. Be quick to follow the example that was laid. In 2 Peter, I'd like to read just the 9th verse of the second chapter. It said, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." And then in Mosiah, the first chapter. Own souls, except they humble themselves and become as little children and believe that salvation was and is to come in and through the atoning blood of Christ, the Lord omnipotent. For the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. But if he yieldeth to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint, through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and becometh as a child submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father. We live in a time where, you know, sometimes when I stop and think about it, I can't hardly even believe that we've got to where we're at. How many things, just take a moment and think in your life, do you consider their necessities that you have to have? Cars, televisions, phones, microwaves. I mean, the list just goes on and on. Many things that today that we deem as necessities that we have to have. And yet, how many thousands of years have people lived without them? How many people have lived over the generations of time without a fraction of the things that we enjoy? And yet we keep under ourselves more and more materials. And there's nothing wrong with having some conveniences to make our life a little easier. But when they become the consumption of our endeavors, then there's a problem. When they become the focus of our attention, our time, our efforts, then the adversary's got his foot in the doorway. Because that's what he wants. He wants to take our focus away from that foundation that was laid. He wants to take our time away from the way it should be spent for things of worth, of service to our fellow man, of prayer and supplication and direction and beseeching of our Heavenly Father for our needs and direction in our lives. He wants to get in any way he can. And he'll use some simple, seemingly harmless items, one by one, to consume us. As we can read in the 14th chapter of John, there is nonetheless an opposition to this. For that sacrifice that has been made for us, there is a reason, a place. Even as our founding fathers, for their work, their sacrifice, their striving to build something and prepare this nation that we have, so indeed for us, something has been prepared, as we can read in the 14th chapter of John, starting with the first verse. The words of our Lord and Master, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And where I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can cometh unto the Father but by me. And finally, I would like to read a Declaration of Independence. And you may notice I said a Declaration of Independence, not the Declaration of Independence as we think of for this country. But then maybe that's what I should be saying, is the Declaration of Independence. Because what this country has is a Declaration of Independence, referring to it. But what I'm going to read is the ultimate Declaration of Independence that's applicable to each and every one that hears my voice. And it reads like this. Oh, remember, remember, my sons, the words which King Benjamin spake unto his people. Yea, remember that there is no other way nor means whereby man can be saved, only through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, which shall come. Yea, remember that he cometh to redeem the world. And remember also the words which Amulet spoke unto Zizrom in the city of Ammonihah. For he said unto him, the Lord surely would come to redeem his people, but that he should not come to redeem them in their sins, but to redeem them from their sins. And he hath power given unto him from the Father to redeem them from their sins because of repentance. Therefore he has sent angels to declare the tidings of the conditions of repentance, which bringeth unto the power of the Redeemer unto the salvation of their souls. And now, my sons, remember that which is upon the rock of our Redeemer, which is Christ, the Son of God, that ye must build your foundation, that when the devil shall send forth his mighty winds, yea, his shafts into the whirlwind, yea, when all his hail and his mighty storm shall beat upon you, it shall have no power over you to drag you down to the gulf of misery and endless woe, because of the rock which ye are built, which is a sure foundation, a foundation whereof men build, they cannot fall. That was from Helaman in the second chapter. And may it be each of our declarations of independence to follow those words, to accept that sacrifice, and be willing to be a part of that foundation. Thank you.
As you turn to number 174, I'll read a few announcements. This coming Wednesday on the 5th, we're going to have a prayer service, and our brother Andy Brown will be in charge of that. Next Sunday on the 9th, 9:45 a.m., we'll have Sunday school, and at 11, we'll have a worship service. And our brother and elder, Brian McIndoe, will be our speaker.
Tom.
Yes?
It's,
who is Ken?
Ken Orr.
Ken Orr? Okay. That evening at 5:30, we'll have a song service. And at 6 o'clock, our brother Andy Brown will be our speaker at that time. And the following Wednesday, there's going to be a worship service, and I think Brian's going to be in charge. Okay. So if you found your places, number 174, would you please rise?
Thank you.
Precious Heavenly Father, as we come to a close of this service here this day, it is only the close of a service, but our service unto Thee in life shall always be till the day that Thou would call us home. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that when that day comes, that we will be found spotless before Thee, that there would be no sin within our lives, but that we have been faithful servants unto Thee. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that Thou would guide our footpath all the way with that lamp, Thy Word, and with Thy Holy Spirit, strengthening us in the days to come. We thank Thee not only that Thou hast given us another day of life, but as we go our separate ways, that Thou would continue in life with us, that we might be able to raise our families and to work a long service and a long life in that dedication, that we would be as beautiful vessels in Thy hands to carry the Word of God unto all men everywhere. Oh, dear precious Heavenly Father, I pray, especially for our youth at this time, that Thou would be with them, to plant them upon a solid foundation, and that Thou would keep them safe always in the hollow of Thy hand. And may Thy holy angels have charge over them. Now, dear Heavenly Father, as we depart, may we depart in Thy safe keeping always. And we pray it and give thanks always in Jesus' name. Amen.